podcast for witches, intersectional feminists, and Wiccans alike, with a focus on current events, witchcraft, paganism, and life as a person of color, aka my day-to-day life. Before we get started, just some basic housekeeping. If I research something or have done research, it will be cited on the blog post with a corresponding title. I will be using the terms Wiccan, pagan, and witch interchangeably, but only in reference to myself because I identify with all of these titles. This does not imply that they are the same thing. And I love being able to make my podcast and blog for you all, but this podcast will sometimes contain ads to help me pay for necessities in college. If you would like to support me and my work and minimize the need for ads, please go to anchor.fm/wiccantations and hit the support button. Starting at as little as 99 cents per month, you can subscribe and help me financially. Any donations are greatly appreciated. Thank you. This is a Tea and Tarot episode. This means that I will be talking about anything related to reading and or interpreting tarot cards. Hello, hello, Merry Med and Blessed Be. You know, I just realized that I always have the intention of saying that when I start an episode, but I think this is the first time that I'm actually remembering to say it. So good for me. That's a little pat on the back right there. You know, it's like when you think it's like when you see someone that you know and you think you said hello, but what actually comes out is pretty much just air or like a kind of sound. And so you're sitting there just like cringing, thinking you've got it. And you're like, no. Yeah, it's kind of one of those moments. But hello, welcome back. It's a double update this week since I missed last week. I'm trying to keep up, chop chop, you know. This week is also going to be a Tea and Tarot episode. It's not an obligatory one. It's I feel like it one. Because I thought I should have done it before I did my first like episode with a reading in it. But I didn't. And I'm doing it now. So it's getting done in the end. And I think that's fine. It's great. Okay. I have like Summertime Magic and Redbone by Childish Gambino going through my head. I've been listening to it recently, so they're all just like floating around up there, and I keep on like wanting to sing the words out, so you may just hear me humming it periodically as I like flip through my notes and such. But yeah, so what we're gonna be talking about for this episode is what I think tarot is. And I think that's an important thing to talk about because you get a better understanding of how I approach my readings if you understand how I believe tarot cards work. And if you would like to, and you really should, do either like a free or paid reading with me, then you would also, it also would give you a bit of background as to how I work before you like make that jump and make that commitment. Because I think the one thing that comes with magic and witchcraft, the craft and things like this, is that you kind of have that trepidation where it's like, yes, it's supposed to be a very personal thing, but I feel like in the sense, it's also like therapy in the sense that you have to also have that connection with the person you're working with. And if you don't have that connection, if their stuff, their information doesn't resonate with you, that's going to like severe, depending on how much of a disconnect there is, that could either slightly or severely hinder the process of like what you're doing and what needs to be done, you know? So yeah, I'm gonna be talking about how I think tarot works. Sorry, I did it again. My brain is like bleeping out. Quick little side note before I start. My birthday is in 2 days. It's on Sunday, January 20th, and I'm super excited. I got this really cute harness, and I have my boots, and my boots came, and I'm gonna go to a Panic at the Disco concert, and I'm gonna go see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and I'm gonna go eat at the Green Turtle, and honestly, it's just, and I'm gonna go hang out with my cousins, too. They're the cutest. They're like 5 and 1... I think, yeah, he hasn't turned 2 yet. He turns 2 in a few months. So it's like they're 5 and 1, and they're truly the cutest kids ever. I love them so much. And just, like, yeah, it's just shaping up to be a really good day. So I'm feeling, and I've also, like, recently finished off my first semester and about to jump into the second. So I've been feeling, like, pretty good come today. I got to sleep in and stuff. So I just want to send those, like, good vibes, good energy your way. And I hope listening to this episode is going to be as much of a pick-me-up for you as it is for me to be recording it. And, you know, just, if you ask me how I felt, like, literally yesterday or even on Wednesday, I would have told you I felt like I was gonna just, like, have a breakdown and curl up into a ball and cry. And now that, like, some of the things that I've been dealing with, and technically in the grand scheme of things, are actually, like, the more minor, smaller things. So the big stuff that's been weighing on me is still there and very present. But being able to let go of some of that smaller stuff has, and getting back into the mood of, like, all right, I gotta do stuff, it's been therapeutic. It's been nice. And it's, sometimes you need that, and sometimes it will make you feel better, sometimes it won't. So for me, it's making me feel better, and I want to share that with you. So you, hopefully, my energy can make you feel better. No guarantees, though. but yeah, let's get started. So, first and foremost, I'm going to give, should this be a Tea and Tarot episode, or should it be a Stars in Your Eyes episode? Sorry, side note. Okay, I'm going to fix it later, it's fine. Basically, let's start with the fact that I don't believe that tarot cards predict the future, per se. And to elaborate on that, is that I don't think, first and foremost, I don't believe the future is set in stone. I don't think in fate, in a certain extent. I think the future is, can be predictable. There are certain things that are going to happen that are inevitable, such as, this is going to be really morbid, but we will all die someday. A plant is going to die someday. A pet is going to die someday. In the sense that there are things that are, like, literally written into, like, the genetics of nature that are 100% unavoidable. There is going to be a natural disaster in your lifetime. You can't avoid that. It will snow in your lifetime. Will you see that snow? Maybe, maybe not. Depends on where you live. Depends on a lot of factors. But it will snow in your lifetime. It will rain. It will be sunny. So there are certain things that are, like, yes, set in stone, but I think in terms of, like, the human path and how your life plays out as a person, it's a little bit of both. It's going back into, like, the basics, some of the fundamentals of psychology in the sense of, like, what makes a human human, and the fact, and, like, the comparison of nature versus nurture. And I am one of the many people who believe in the combination of both. So there are certain things that are, like, you were genetically predetermined to be this way. And there are other things where it's, like, this is a product of how you've been raised or just how you are developing as a person. So, like, let's say you came from a terrible, terrible background. Actually, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want to potentially run into any triggers for people. So let's say you had the best possible background. You had great, loving parents. They took really good care of you. They were always fair in their punishments. You could understand why you needed them. They kept you fed. They kept you clothed. They gave you what you wanted within reason for, like, your birthdays and Christmas and stuff. And you had a great relationship with them. And your extended family was also great. They're all, like, very active, let's say, socially. Let's say they definitely believe in, like, human rights and stuff, and you share a lot of the same political views, so there's never been an issue in your house, and it's been fabulous. You've been living during the, like, best presidency ever, and you've had a great life. That doesn't stop you. That can or cannot stop you, and maybe you go to college, and suddenly you become the meanest person ever. Like, you are over here and you're like, someone could accidentally, like, stumble into you, and now you're, like, popping off on them, screaming at them, even though nothing in your life has gone wrong. That could be the result of, assuming that there are no other factors into play and you're just being rude and mean and disrespectful. Like, that could be just your, like, biological nature. There is a possibility that, like, you were just born that way, and there's a part of you that was just triggered in that moment. There's also a possibility that, like, maybe you've been picking up influence from your life outside of, from other people in other places outside of your family. Maybe you picked it up from some friends that you have that you didn't realize were toxic friends. Maybe you picked it up from the TV shows you watched as a kid. Maybe you picked it up from the books you read. Maybe you picked it up by the neighborhood you lived in. Maybe you lived somewhere nice, but there was a lot of shady stuff going on. Like, maybe you lived in, what's that movie? Maybe you lived in the Stepford neighborhood, okay? Everything is picture perfect and peachy, and you have the gay couple that lives in the cul-de-sac down the corner, the stereotypical gay couple that lives in the cul-de-sac down the corner, and everyone's, like, has someone to go mowing lawns and stuff, but, like, there's some shady stuff going on. Maybe, like, you find out things and you're picking up on certain subliminal messages and energies that you don't realize are affecting how you present yourself to other people. So, kind of the idea that, like, there are so many different factors that come into play that shapes who you are as a person. I believe that just as many factors can come into play and shape how your life progresses. Yes, so I don't believe that it's possible to fully predict the future. I think of the future almost as if it was like a tree, in the sense that, like, you are somewhere, you, humanity, whatever you're looking at the future of in that time is somewhere in the middle of the trunk of that tree. What's behind you, or below you, so to speak, are the roots. This is like everything that has already happened. These are all the different paths that are slowly but surely coming, that were like separate farther back in time, but have come together at this present moment to make who you are and to make you, to make what your life is at that moment. So, like, let's think of like the butterfly effect. So the butterfly would be, I don't know, your version of a butterfly could be that, like, your great 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 grandmother turned left instead of right. Low-key Doctor Who reference about Donna. I'm sorry, that just, I had to throw that one in there because it was like a really big, it's fine, I'm done. Okay, so like your grandmother turned left instead of right, and she ended up like meeting a different person, living a different life, getting married to someone else, and that ended up making you. If your grandmother had turned right, you could have been a boy. I don't know, or I shouldn't say that. You could have, I don't know, ended up, no, okay, anyways, you could have ended up in a different way than you are now, basically, is my point. So that, like, tiny decision to turn a different way on the road could have ended up leading to the very, something happening in your life, kind of thing. So that's the past. And that has already happened, and that's like the roots of the tree. You are the trunk. You're fully aware of what's happening right now. You know what's happened in your near past. You know what you've experienced. And you know some of what's happened to your ancestors, and you know how that factors into your current life. And then what's in front of you, which are the branches and the leaves and stuff, is the future. So the future has so many different routes and options. Like, at first you start off with a few. Maybe the tree for you splits off into two main decisions. Maybe you need to decide whether you want to keep the job that you're at and hope you're going to get a promotion, or you need to figure out if you're going to like take the leap of faith and start your own business, right? So those are two, they're not to say that they're minor issues, but in terms of like the number of choices you have, those are two choices, right? And then from there, you have multiple choices. Let's say if you take the stick with where you're at route, that you now have to decide, like, okay, am I going to ask my boss for a raise? Or, like, am I going to, I don't know, try to find a higher level position at another company? Am I going to put more work into my job to see if that'll get their attention more and see if that'll give me the raise by, like, based on what I do, kind of thing? If you choose a small business route, now you need to figure out, like, hey, am I going to be based, like, where I'm currently living? Am I going to be moving somewhere else? Am I going to need a partner? So this, like, these two big decisions come up and branch off into many other smaller decisions. What I think tarot cards do is I think that they basically are, as if you center yourself properly and if you approach it with respect and the cards decide to respond to you, because it's not just a one-way street in this. It's not just like you forcing the cards to do something. The cards also have to be willing to like do something for you. Is that if it works properly, you are now like shining a little light. Think like, I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. I'm like usually really good at Greek mythology, but I can't remember his name right now. But like the guy who went into the labyrinth with the Minotaur, and like he had a glowing string, right? And so that helped him find his way back. Actually, that's a terrible example because it's the other way around. You need to find your way forward. Oy vey. But yeah, basically, like, the idea that, like, this is something that will light up one possible path you can take, and it will shed some illumination on it. It'll say, okay, well, you could look at this, you could look at that. Here's a possible option. And this is specifically if you're looking at the future stuff. If you're looking at the past, you could be like, what got me to this point? Or, like, how did this happen? And it's like, well, here's one possible explanation. It's not like, here's the exact explanation. It's not like, hey, why did my partner break up with me? And it's like, and the cards are going to tell you, well, your partner broke up with you because you, I don't know, kept the shower dirty and didn't do any chores around the house. So, like, just random example, but, like, in the sense that, like, it's not going to tell you an exact thing, but maybe the cards will say, like, well, there was something to do with, like, disappointment and, like, a lack of support on your part. And you're like, okay, well, now you have to evaluate, like, okay, what ways may I possibly have not provided support? Did I actually not provide support? So it's also, you also have to take into consideration, basically what I'm saying, to summarize, is that the cards are showing you one possible avenue for whatever question you're asking. It's one possible option that you can look at. What was I about to say? I'm sorry, I keep on getting sidetracked. Cards are gonna show you one possible. My brain is like fried. Yeah, so they show you one possible option for what's happening to you. The other thing about the cards is that what they also say is not necessarily set in stone. So you could ask him right now, as I'm recording this, at 3:09 p.m., Friday, January 18th. Hey, should I go to Yale or Harvard? And right now you ask the cards, and let's say you get a lot of cards that point you to Yale. They're like, you need to go to Yale. Yale is the school for you. Yale is where you should be, you know? And then you ask it again at 3:10. And then the cards are like, I don't know. It's pretty dicey. Not sure. And I think the thing about that is that, like, you can't just, like, go to two different, unless it's your future is whatever you're asking is, like, so clear or has such a clear answer that, like, no matter how many times you do it or no matter where you go, you're going to get the same general idea of a response. And then it's like, I don't think you're not going to get the same response because, and this coincides with the idea that, like, the cards are looking at one particular path. So if you ask it again, it'll show you another path. It's like a magic eight ball sometimes. Like, not completely arbitrary in terms of your what response you're going to get, but in the sense that, like, you shake it, there's no guarantee that you're going to get yes two times in a row. There's no guarantee that you're going to roll a dice and you're going to get six two times in a row. Why do I keep talking about statistics? I just took, like, an AP stat exam, and I hated it. It was the worst thing ever, and so, like, my brain is kind of, like, all up in statistics right now, and I don't appreciate it. But yeah, so what the cards tell you is not set in stone, so you have to be willing to accept the idea that, like, they might even be flat-out wrong. The cards, like, might not be on their game today. They might be like, you know what? I haven't been cleansed. You haven't shuffled me properly, like, you've been treating me like dirt, so I'm gonna turn off, I'm gonna take a break, and wait for you to get it together, and then I'll come back, kind of thing. Also, speaking on that, that's, how do I put it? I don't think the cards are alive in the sense that they're, like, literally talking to me, but I do think that everything has its own energy signature, in a way, or, like, almost a vibration, vibrational, it's hard to explain. It's like, I think everything has its own energy signature, whether it's an animate or an inanimate object, whether it's alive or dead, or, like, doesn't have a life, so to speak. And then you have that, if you're dealing with an object, because it's an object, it cannot change its own energy signature on its own. Think Actually, think physics. Like, an object in motion will stay in motion unless acted on by an outside force. So kind of like, let's say these cards are on go. Like, they're gonna stay, like, if you think about it, like, more in space, don't think about it like, hey, if you, like, roll a ball on a table, at some point it's gonna fall off the table kind of way. Think about it like in space, in a blank open space where it's like there's literally nothing under it, nothing around it to stop it from moving. That ball is gonna keep moving forward until something comes in the way and shoves it. So you have to be willing to either move alongside that ball or be that thing that comes in the way and shoves it off course. And this could be a good shoving it off course, and this could be a bad shoving it off course. Personally, I believe in cleansing or resetting your cards, so to speak. Like, do I think that you need to, like, submerge them in a waterproof bag in moon water on the blood moon? No, I don't. In the sense that, like, if that's your forte, cool, but I don't think everyone needs to do that, and that should be the standard. I think it's more along the lines of, like, you should take the time to reset your cards, like, either put them back in order, or do actually cleanse them in moonlight, or meditate with your cards without using them, without doing anything, just sit, play some soothing music, or just sit and close your eyes and just, like, think about, like, clearing all the energy off of them. Because every time you use your cards, I feel like you leave a bit of your intention behind, like a fingerprint, right? And, you know, maybe if it's just you and you only do it for daily things, you're still leaving a fingerprint behind, but it's not as big of a fingerprint. It's not a dirty fingerprint, so it's fine. So maybe you only do it, like, twice a year. Versus someone who's constantly using their cards to do readings for other people, where, like, if one person who come in may be, like, super mad about whatever situation they need to ask about, the other person may be completely devastated. Next person, they just want to see what the cards say about, like, their next, like, 6 months of their life. So it's, like, it's rather apathetic. So in the sense that each of those energies leaves, like, its own kind of signature on the card, and you have to be ready to and willing to, like, wipe that all clean. Because over time, I feel like my belief is that it will affect how your cards start reading, and if they won't work as well. It's like if you had a bag, and then every time someone came around, they got to put a rock in your bag. Depending on what you do with your bag, let's say your bag is purely for yourself, right? So it is just me, myself, and I. So every time you use that bag, you put a pebble in it. Because you know, you're fully aware that the bag is only for you, but you're constantly putting a pebble in your bag. At some point, you're going to have that those pebbles are going to keep adding up and adding up and adding up and adding up. Like a pound of ice, think of the phrase like the riddle where it's like, which one is heavier, a pound of feathers or a pound of iron? Like, they're both a pound, so even though it's feathers, which is a super light object, and it'll probably take a lot of them, that still weighs a pound, so you're still going to feel that weight as if it was a pound of iron. So that's the idea where it's like, if it's just you, it may be small pebbles, and you're going to have to take those pebbles off, empty them out, clean them off, and that kind of thing every once in a while, versus if you're constantly using that bag to carry, let's say, stuff for other people, so to speak, so to do readings for others, one person may put in a pebble because that's all they need to get off their back. Another person may put in the freaking world on your globes, like they may be Atlas, and they may have, like, you know what, I'm going to take the earth off my shoulders and I'm going to put it in your bag and you're just going to deal with it. Another person may put in a medium-sized boulder. They're like, hey, this is really heavy for me. But, you know, it's not, like, life-changing. So all that weight is going to start adding up faster, and it's going to start being heavier for you. So I feel like for things like that, you need to, like, reset those cards more often. So either, like, putting them, taking the time, and just, like, setting off, like, let's say 10 minutes, 15 minutes, even 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be long, I don't think. But just, like, take the cards and put them back in what's the word I'm looking for? In order, so to speak. So put all the major arcana from 0 to 21 in order and then put all the suits back together from one to King. King? I think it's King? Yeah, King. From like one to all four suits to get back together from one to King. And so you have that back and it's like you kind of almost like restored its energy because you've restored the original order that is in the cards. And then just like know the next time you need to do the reading, you're going to shuffle for like either let that those cards sit in that order for a while, and then like before you know you have a reading coming up, shuffle them, so then by the time the reading comes around you're only shuffling them at the normal speed, or be aware of the fact that you're gonna have to shuffle a little more to break up some of those clumps that occur, right? Or if you're that kind of person, bathe in a movement, use a crystal, do whatever you need to do, but I think you always need to like reset that card's energy and put it back in order. Where did I start this conversation again? Oh yeah, how do I think tarot cards work? So yeah, I talked about my tree theory, where it's like roots at the bottom are the past, branches at the top are the future. You are you, and you don't know which way you're going to grow. I mean, you know you're going to grow up into the future, but you don't know which branch you're going to become. And then I talked about cleansing the cards and how that's important, because that can affect how they do readings for you, and how I don't believe that they are like they have a life of their own, but I think that everything has its own energy and that you have to be willing to either acclimate or curve that energy. Like if you know someone's doing a marathon and you really need to get in contact with that person, you're either going to have to get up and run alongside them and like chug along with that person on this marathon to try to talk to them, or you're going to have to find a way to stop them from running. But that marathon runner is going to keep on going until they're done. Not to say that tarot cards have like a done point, but just in the sense that like they're going to keep on going whether you want them to or not. So you're going to have to find a way to adjust, pretty much. And yeah, I think this is actually going to be a shorter one, because I think I covered everything that I wanted to talk about. Which is pretty nice. Also, take care of your cards, people. Mine are slightly abused because they like to sit in my bedside drawer. And I didn't realize that like the box was getting crushed because I hadn't used them for a few months because of stuff I had to do and I got like really busy with school and everything. But like, yeah, take care of your cards, people. Take care of your cards and they will take care of you. Figure out how you believe they work, so then that can be the foundation of how you do things, because yeah, because making sure that you understand how the cards work for you is important, because that affects like what kind of questions you ask, how you ask your questions, how you're going to treat the cards, that kind of thing, and that's all very important. And yeah, I think I got it all. So finally remembering to do my sign off, because I couldn't remember what it was for the past like 3 weeks. Good job, kid. Merry met, merry part, and blessed be. And since, you know, I have a little time more than normal, I am going to explain a bit of the reason I say this. So I feel like the blessed be is kind of just like, almost like a bless you, in terms of like how you always like, even though whether you're religious or not, most people nowadays still say bless you when someone sneezes. The history behind saying bless you is that they used to believe that your soul came out through your mouth, or it was either your nose or your mouth, I don't remember which, but your soul basically escaped every time you sneezed. So saying bless you basically acted as a protection, so it would get from any demons that might try to enter your body while your soul was out. And that's why people say bless you. But we still say it anyway, whether you're a Christian or religious or not. And it's just a very much a polite thing to do. So I think in the blessed be sense that it's more like, for me, it does have somewhat of a religious connotation behind it for me personally. But it's more in the sense of just like, hey, I just wanted to acknowledge that I don't wish anything bad on you. Just like, I hope you have a good day. Like, if you get off the bus, generally, you may say to your bus driver, have a good day. You don't know this person. You don't have any, like, pure, super emotional investment in them. But you still say, have a good day. Because while you don't necessarily, like, hey, I want you to win the lottery kind of have a good day, but it's like, I also don't wish any ill on you either. And it's like, I think for me, the merry met and merry part have the same emphasis. Not gonna lie, I did pick it up from the phrase from one of my favorite book series, which is the House of Nights series by, I can't remember who it's by, but I'll find it before my next podcast. But, like, yeah, in the sense that, like, I don't know how accurate they are, which is why this is the only thing I've incorporated, because I don't want to, like, participate in cultural appropriation, because as a person of color, I hate it when I see it. But, like, they do. It's one of the things I love about the book is, like, while, yes, it's vampires, blah, 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 it's also rooted in, from my understanding, based on no research done myself, because I have not done any research onto, like, how this works out, but it's based in a lot of, like, Native American tradition, which is, I think, like, amazing and really cool, and it talks, and it incorporates a lot of that, and it talks about, like, one of the things is that, like, the main character, Zoe, is, the high priestess, so to speak, of her school. It's a long story, I don't feel like explaining it. But, like, one of the things she does is she uses white sage to cleanse her circles. I personally don't do that because I'm not sure whether it's cultural appropriation or not. I don't know any Native American people to ask whether it's cultural appropriation or not. And I also, even if it turns out to be not, because I'd be doing it in a respectful manner and respecting the tradition of the original tradition, I still just wouldn't want to do it without knowing that I could get, like, properly sourced white sage or whatever the herbs are, kind of thing. So, like, it's I have my hangups, but basically, like, it does things like using white sage. One thing that's very prevalent throughout the series, partially because her grandmother owns a lavender farm, is, like, the use of lavender and the rituals, like, I'm not gonna try to pronounce it, but, like, I think they use some Native American deities and I don't want to call it folklore because this is some people's faith, but, like, I don't like this. Being politically correct is hard sometimes, you guys, because, like, I do want to be respectful to other people's, but sometimes it's hard to find the words. So, for lack of a better word or phrase that's not coming to me right now, I'm going to say, like, they use Native American folklore and stories, and, I'm not gonna call it a myth. So, yeah, we're gonna go with folklore and stories and fables. And it's just a really good series overall, and where was I going with this again? Yeah, that's where I got the Mary Met, Mary Part, and Blessed Be from. But, like, I kind of repurposed it for my own use, and just, I have a different connection to it outside of just, like, oh, I read it in a book somewhere kind of thing. Like, you may have a favorite quote, or you may have a favorite poem. Like, yes, there's the certain feelings of the author behind it, but then you also have your own personal connection to that quote or poem. And so you may be constantly saying it or rereading it or things like that because of that personal connection that you have, rather than just, like, it's because this person kind of said it kind of thing. But yeah, actually signing off this time, actually doing my sign off this time, Mary Met, Mary Part, and Blessed Be. Feel free to contact me by email at wicantations@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram at the handle wicantations. That is spelled WICCANTATIONS. If you'd like to learn more about my opinion on these topics, please visit my blog. The link is in the bio. I am doing bi-monthly anonymous tarot readings. If you would like to submit a question, please email me, DM me, or contact me through my blog with anonymous tarot reading in the subject line. If you would like to guarantee a tarot reading by paying for one, feel free to contact me for more information.